shall those things be which thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to preach to you about three fatal mistakes. Three fatal mistakes. Would you ask God to give us wisdom so that we don't make these same mistakes today? Jesus, we thank you for your presence and the moving of your power that's in this house. Oh God, thank you for letting your glory to fill this place, to touch our lives and to minister to our hearts today. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom. I pray that you would move upon our souls today. Lord, help us to be wise, I pray, wise after the things of God, to not lay up treasures for ourselves just in this world, but God, help us to look beyond towards eternity, to not make these foolish mistakes. We thank you for your word and your presence today in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. If you don't know what else to pray, you could just say, in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, there's comfort in that name. There's healing in their name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. You may not have hope in this world, but you just speak the name of Jesus. And with that name, as you utter it, there is hope in that place. Are you thankful for the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Somebody give another hand clap to the name of Jesus today. Lord, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. Someone once said, wise men learn from their mistakes, but wiser men learn from the mistakes of others. Wise men learn from their mistakes, but wiser men learn from the mistakes of others. I pray today that we can learn from the mistakes made by this certain rich man. We don't know which city he would have been from, how old he might have been. We don't know his name or anything about his life. Just a parable told by Jesus of a certain rich man. A man that was blessed by God, who didn't realize it until it was too late. Oh, how I pray today that we do not make his same mistakes. How we all ought to pray in this house that we do not fall into the same temptations of the enemy. But if we can learn from this certain rich man, if we can learn from this wise parable of Jesus to learn from the mistakes of another, then would we be wise? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. These parables spoken by Jesus, they're recorded in the Gospels, and they're preserved through time, delivered here unto us today. They're not just worthless stories, tales with which to fill out the pages of this book. They're not just empty fables, but oh no, no, it's in these pages that we find the wisdom for life, for every situation that we could find ourselves in. I tell you today, I'd rather learn from the mistakes of a certain rich man than have to experience the same fate that he did. Those of you who are still under the age of 30, and your parents still like to just help you with a little advice. You know, when I was about 16, 17, 18, I didn't think my parents were all that smart. I knew that they were, you know, they had lived, but I really thought I had some stuff figured out. On about 21, 22, 23, all of a sudden, boy, they're getting smarter all the time. When I hit 30, I started valuing their opinion. And now I'm just a little older than 30. I want to tell you, my parents, they're pretty wise. All of us who are parents, you understand that we don't want our children making the same mistakes that we made. There's some battles that we had to face because of some decisions that we made that I wish somebody would tell me, hey, watch out for that. Don't go that direction. Don't listen to that voice. Don't allow that influence in your life, because there's some consequences that go along with that. And then I want to tell you today that sometimes we have to learn those things all on our own, but oh, how much better to look in the words of Jesus here and see these mistakes that this certain rich man made so that we can be wise in this life today. And so we look at three fatal mistakes today. First of all, you see, this rich man, he thought that he was in charge. Read through this passage. We see where he thought to himself. He said, what shall I do? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater barns, and there I'll put my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul. This man didn't ask for advice. He didn't seek the will of God. He acted as a committee of one. No doubt he was a self-made man, a self-made millionaire perhaps in that day, and he thought that he didn't owe anyone, and he was all wrapped up in himself, and success had hypnotized him, and he ended up mistakenly thinking that he was in charge of things. In effect, he mistook himself for a god. I'm going to tell you, that's a bad mistake to make, to think that we're in charge, that we've arrived, that it's all about I and my and mine and it's all under my control. We all need a reminder from time to time that we're really not all as great as we think we are. We all need a reminder once in a while to keep our feet on the ground. And Paul said in Romans 1:23, he said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God, help us today to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, to think that we're in control of everything and it's all about my plans and my dreams and my will. No, I want to tell you today, we've got to come to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, it's not about me, but it's about you, and it's about your work, and it's about your will. Lord, I sacrifice my will at your feet. I pray that your will be done in my life. Pride is the enemy of our soul. This man had a big harvest, and so he felt he didn't need God for anything else. His wealth and his success had made him arrogant and selfish. He had his eye on his bank account, and that big balance, it blinded him. And so it happens many times today. Jesus warned about the things of life that can choke the word of God. And one of those warnings was about the deceitfulness of riches. It's foolish to think that we're in charge when we're never more than just one breath away from eternity. It's foolish to think that we've got it all under control when we're all just 1 minute away from judgment. One mistake and we could suffer the consequences the rest of our life. One bad investment and we could be all the way back to where we began. One chance happening and we could lose it all. We've got to remember today we're not in charge of anything by ourselves. Whatever we've been given, we're just stewards of it. But it all belongs to God. It's all under his control. He's the main man. He's the head honcho. Come on, he's the one that's in charge today. In Daniel 5:22 and 23, we read of that fateful night when the creator of the universe wrote on the wall of Belshazzar's palace before 1,000 lords and their concubines. Daniel told him, he said, "And thou, O son, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" Let me ask us here today, are we recognizing God in our home? Is his place first and foremost in our life? Do we ask him to bless the meals before we eat? Do we recognize that his hand is upon us, providing food to eat, blessing us with health? Does the Bible have a place of respect and leadership in our lives? Do our children understand that Sunday is the Lord's day? Do we kneel before the Lord in the morning and at evening to thank him for another day, to ask him for his protection and place our trust in him? Where is our priority today? Do we bring our tithes and our offerings to God in proportion to how he's blessed us, recognizing that we didn't do that on our own, but he's the one that blessed us with that job, and he's the one that's given us that income, and he's the one that's placed protection around our home? I want to tell you today, we're not in this just by ourselves, but there's a hand of God. Thank God for his hand. Thank God for his blessing. Thank God for his goodness. Amen. We're not walking all by ourselves, but when we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a hand upon us, and it's the hand of God. I don't want to neglect to give him glory and praise and honor, but he's the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Who's in charge of our life? Will we make the same fatal mistake as the fool in this parable and think that we're in charge of things, or will we recognize that God is the master of our soul? This man thought he had the final word. "This will I do," he said. But I wouldn't be too sure about that today. I would ask God about it if I were you. That was his first fatal mistake. Secondly, today we see how this certain rich man, he confused his body with his soul. In Luke 12:19, he said, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This man wanted to live in his physical senses only. He was busy building in the physical. He was building in the natural realm, out of the goods and the pleasures of this world. He thought that was the ticket to success, the ticket to paradise, the success of this world. But Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." I want to tell you, there's some things today like love and faith and kindness and joy and virtue and respect. Those things are not obtained in this world. You don't store them away in warehouses. They're not bought and sold, but they're real. They're so real that we can't go on living without them. I want to tell you today, if we're living just on the physical things, just on the fleshly things, then we're not really living at all. But there's a whole another world around there. I want to tell you, we're making a fatal mistake if we're just only living by the natural. There's an inner man that can't be fed on these things. Oh, we may be full of, I'm going to get myself in trouble today, prime rib and baked potatoes and carrot cake and banana pudding. You know, you can't say banana pudding. You got to say banana pudding. Should we go on, or are you really hungry? Okay. We may be full of so much of this world, so full that, oh, we just couldn't fit anymore. But the inner man is starving. Don't confuse the physical man with the things of the soul. Don't fill our lives with all the things of the flesh while our spirit is desperately crying out in hunger for nourishment. I want to tell you there's some heartaches that no bank account can cure. There's a pain of the soul that no amount of entertainment can ease. If it was just a physical thing, then doctors could do surgery and fix the issue. But it's not an issue of our body. It's an issue of our soul. And Jesus is the only answer to that. I'd rather be broken in body. I'd rather be poor in spirit. I'd rather be broke in finances and have the wealth of the riches of the things of God. I tell you today, you are blessed. You are rich with the blessings of the Lord upon your life. No matter your situation, you may be broken. You may need healing. You may need a touch from God in your body. But if you've got the Lord, if you've got His Spirit, then you are blessed beyond measure. Don't you forget the goodness of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. I know my flesh may be wanting. I know my physical man may be lacking. But oh, how's my spirit doing today? How's the things of God doing today in my soul? A certain rich man thought he was talking to his soul when he was only talking to his body. Oh, you've got many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But I want to say the soul needs something more than that. Thirdly, today we see that he mistakenly thought that time was the same thing as eternity. He said, you've got many goods laid up for many years. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What a difference in his opinion of things and God's view on the matter. Oh, the man acted as though he had the world by the tail, he had it made. He was in charge. He had arrived as far as this world was concerned. But God said, oh, that's the most important thing today is what does God say? God says your time has run out. It's time for you to give an account for your life. We're mistakenly thinking today that time is the same thing as eternity, for we must prepare differently for each. I tell you, this man was ready to stay. He was ready to enjoy time. He was ready to enjoy the fruits of his labor, but he wasn't ready to go. He had prepared for time, but he hadn't given a thought to eternity. I ask you today, what's our primary investment? Is it in time? Is it in the things that are going to pass away, or has it been in the things of eternity? Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Come on, have we asked ourselves lately, how much of this stuff can I take with me into eternity? Have we taken account of our life and examined what we can take with us? I'll tell you, there's no baggage on that final trip. It doesn't matter how high you want to pay the luggage fees. There's no baggage on that final trip. But we'll enter into eternity eternally bankrupt unless we've sent something on ahead. I believe this man was so full of himself, so intoxicated with his earthly success, that he really thought he could buy more time. That he was able to buy, he was able to buy everything else, but there's some things we cannot buy. And he had convinced himself that he didn't have to give account to anyone but himself. He had worked hard. He was a self-made man. And what he had worked for it. No one had given it to him, and nobody could take it from him. He had one simple plan. He said, I'll pull down my barns, and he said, I'll build bigger barns, and there I'll be able to store all of my stuff. That's usually the plan. Man's selfish desire is always to build greater. You know, the little house is no longer enough anymore. Think about a generation or two ago. I don't know how they did it. I tell you, they had 10 kids and they lived in a 3-bedroom house. Some of you remember some of those days. But the little house is not enough anymore, and so we build bigger and we fill it with more and until there's not room enough for everything, and it overflows into the garage, and then we got to get a storage unit, and we work hard to collect all of this stuff, and we think, well, this is my stuff, and I've worked hard for this, and I'll lock it up, and I'll keep it, and this is my security in this stuff. But may we never forget the question that God asked this foolish man. In Luke 12:20, we read, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? How foolish to make such plans for the things of time and not plan at all for eternity. The Bible plainly tells us that any man is a fool who layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to tell you, some of the richest people in eternity are very poor by today's standards. You can travel the world. You can go to third world countries, places where they don't have anything except for their relationship with God. They don't have air conditioning. They would love to have a car, but maybe have never even ridden in an automobile. They don't have the fine things of life. They don't even have enough to eat and to drink, but they've got something in their soul that's worth more than all of that. And I want to proclaim to you today in heaven, I believe that will be some of the richest people there, because everything they had, it came from God, and they realized that nothing in this world was worth anything without him. Hallelujah. You know, we get so preoccupied with worldly measures of success. I'm a preacher, so let me relate to you as a preacher might think. Thank God for the blessings upon harvest. Thank God for full house. Thank God for all the departments and ministries that are growing and reaching people. And Bishop, we could get together and talk, well, how much is your church running? Oh, it's running such and such. How much is yours? Well, mine's... I want to tell you, first of all, this is not my church. This is not Bishop's church. This is the Lord's church. Sometimes it's not how many are coming, but how many are going. David, how many are going to the other side of town where nobody wants to go to reach people that have nothing? Brother Keith, how many are going to that homeless man? We talked about some of those things last night to give him hope. How many are going beyond the place of comfort to a place where we're not comfortable, but that's where God has called us to do a work, to do a ministry for him. And so, as a minister, I know we've got to count numbers. We've got to plan for the future, you know. If you're going to have 500 people in church, you've got to have seats to fit 500 people. I understand all that, but I wonder today, Maybe the greatest reward in heaven is not to the pastor of a 5,000 member church. But what if it's to a pastor of 10 or 15 or 20 or 30? Was willing to sacrifice and fight spirits and deal with devils that perhaps other churches didn't have to deal with because that church fought them off. We just got to remember today, our calculations, our accounting is not the same as God's. So this man, this certain rich man, he looked and he accounted, and his accountant came in and had books and books of ledgers and reports, and here's how we're doing, and everything's going great, business is good, and we don't have room for all of the stuff. And the man said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll tear down those barns, and we'll build bigger barns so that we can gather more and more and more. I'll tell you something, smote my heart. We're putting the mission into motion. We've got to have a bigger house. That's given. But what is that bigger house for? Is that bigger facility so that we can just come and be so full of the blessings of God? And all the stuff that God has done for us. And just sit there and bask in his presence. And Brother Harold, I want to do that some, but there's got to be a going as well. It's not how much stuff can we build and how much stuff can we store and how much stuff we can fit into that building. But I want to tell you, there's some hungry people that they need some of that stuff. They need some of those spiritual blessings. They need some of that spiritual food. And there's got to be something within us that stirs us up. Hey, this is not about me. This is not about mine. It's not about you. But it's about Jesus Christ. And it's about others who need this message of hope. They need this message of truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This man in this story is called a fool by God himself. He may have had everything this world could offer, but he was missing that which was most important. Oh, let's not make the same mistakes today. Three fatal mistakes, three mistakes of a fool. We've got to realize today God's in control of this. My life is not my own, but we've been purchased with a price, and we're his today. Oh, don't confuse your body today with your soul. There's some things that are going to live on and on and on forever and ever. And this body is not, it's what we're trapped in today, but there's a soul inside that's going to live forever. And realize today that eternity is much different than time. Time can be counted by seconds and minutes and hours and days. But eternity, can't count eternity. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to make the same mistakes of the certain rich man. But God, help us today to realize there's more than just me. There's more than just mine. There's others that need the kingdom of God. The will of God for us. Would you stand with me today? I want to leave you today with a quote that has rocked my world this week. We're going to open this altar area for people to come and to pray and seek God's will for your life, and I believe God's going to bless and he's going to minister today. D.L. Moody once said, failure failure is not the most danger, the most dangerous thing. But success at the wrong things. Failure is not the most dangerous thing. But success at the wrong things. I tell you, we could be successful in a lot of areas of life. And just like this certain rich man, they're the wrong things. I would rather die trying to do something that's going to live on for eternity. Perhaps never being fully successful, but doing our best. Than to be so successful at doing things that don't matter. To every ministry of this church, to every leader, to every great and wonderful saint, I want to tug at your heart today. I want to tell you, this church has got to be about doing more than just our will and our dreams and our plans. We've got to be about others. Harvest Kids Department, it's got to be about others. Our music ministry, I'm going to tell you, it's got to be about others. We're so blessed. Thank God. I want to tell you, that choir today and the singers, musicians, we've got talent all over the place. Thank the Lord. But that talent wasn't given us, Brother Roger, just to come and have great church, but I believe that talent's given to us to make a difference in our world. As we approach the end of this year and the beginning of next year, I want you to open your heart and let God speak to you about a place of ministry. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, I'm not saying that, but we're all called to be a minister in a certain area. And God's placed an anointing upon your life, and there's a work that we can do in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you today, more important than just us and our dreams and our plans and our comfort and our preferences, it's others. Hallelujah. I wonder, is there somebody here today that you'd be willing to find a place of prayer, and in prayer you'd put down some of your dreams and you'd put down some of your plans, put down some of your stuff, and say, God, I don't want to be so successful at that but miss out on what's really important. I wonder if there'd be an elder that maybe you'd allow God just to kind of reawaken some things in your spirit today that hey, I don't know how much more time I've got left, but I want to go out doing the work of the kingdom of God. If I have 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I want to spend it doing what God wants me to do. I wonder if there's a young person here today that you'd be willing to say, hey, from the very start of my life, I want to give my life to the Lord. Whatever He wants me to do, that's what I'll answer. I'll answer that call today. It's not about me. It's not about my stuff. It's not about my barns and my dreams and my plans, but Lord, it's about you. Hey, amen. This altar is open right now. I wonder if somebody would come and you'd say, Lord, I give my life to you right now. I don't want to make the mistakes of a fool. I don't want to make the mistakes of this rich man. But God, I want to live a life that's going to live on for eternity. I want to invest in some things that are having a lasting result and return. I give you my heart. I give you my life today, Lord. I pray that you would work in me today. Remind me, Lord, it's not about me.